Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we have just started this course. And today, we are in lesson number 2. And last week, in lesson 1, we studied the observation, the entire book. It was just a highlight of the entire book. We call it an overview because it's a big picture of what the book of Ephesians is about. So today, our lesson is on lesson 2. We'll be studying in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you for understanding of your word, your truths. You have given it to those that have written it down for us through your Holy Spirit. It's your word, it's your truths, and we want to know you more, Father. We want to be conformed, to be like Jesus. So we ask you today to lead us in this study that we will know you more. And in knowing you more, we will apply it to our lives and go out to share and tell others that don't know Jesus that they may come to know him as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. So today we will start, as we mentioned earlier, last week was the first lesson, which was just an overview, which was the highlights of each chapter, 1 through 6. This study has 6 chapters, but we will be studying 10 lessons in order to cover all 6 of these chapters. So let's begin then in reading verses 1 through 2. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul begins by introducing himself that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, but it's not by his will, but it's by the will of God. And he also states that this letter is written to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, we know that we went through last week and got some of the history of Ephesus, and it's in Asia, and that Paul, whenever he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was called by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he started his journey. And as you know in reading scripture, that he made 3 missionary journeys and went throughout Asia carrying the gospel of Jesus. So we want to look then, knowing that he's been called and he is writing this letter to the Ephesian church. Now, we also need to know that Paul many times was arrested because of his faith and his teaching of the word. So, at the time he is writing this letter, he is in prison. And we believe, according to history and theology and the Word of God, that he is in prison in Rome when he is writing this letter. Now, going on and reading verses. Well, let's look at some scripture that cross-reference about Paul. Let me find the right scripture here. He says, let's go back and look at verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace, what does grace mean when you talk about the grace of God? Grace be to you. What is grace? We learn the definition of grace. Grace is undeserved favor. It's God's favor, and it's undeserved. But it's through His grace that we receive it because of His love. And as we read further, we'll see that verse 6 says that glory of His grace is freely bestowed. God gives His grace freely and bestows it upon those that believe upon Him. And then in verses 7 and 8, it tells us that we're rich in His grace. We've been lavished with His grace. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul wrote that we are saved and called according to His own purpose and grace. So, that is why that we are saved. It's because of His love, His grace. And Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 tells of His grace towards us that we'll be studying. Now let's read verses 3 through 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him, this is verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Now, watch closely. You're going to notice many times in these verses it says in Him. It means in Jesus. Verse 11, in Him, Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, Jesus, who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now, why then would He choose us? He blessed all believers with spiritual blessings in Christ. That's how that we were blessed in Christ. And where was this blessing? It says in the heavenly places. And we see that in verse 3. And these blessings then are a part of His grace that we talked about earlier. So, what are these blessings? Let's break down of these verses by doing cross-reference to other scriptures. First of all, we see that we are chosen. Verse 4 says, just as He chose us in Him, in Christ, He picked us out. He selected us. And how did He choose us? He chose us by God in Christ. When did He choose us? The scripture says, before the foundation of the world. That's in verse 4. Just He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And why was that we would be holy and blameless? Without blame, He says. And this is the end result of being chosen. And let's look at 1 Peter 1 through 2 and see how that the scripture backs up all that he is writing about now about us being chosen. 1 Peter verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. So that's where he said that it was predestined, foreknowledge according to God. It was in his plan, and it was how he did this was by the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Now then, let's look at John 15, verse 16, and let's see what John says. You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. So Jesus said, this is Jesus' word, that he chose and appointed the disciples and believers to go and bear fruit. And he spoke of an intimate relation with the Father. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 30, because all of these scriptures tell us how that we were chosen, how it was foreknown, how that it was predestined. Reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26-30, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So in these verses, we see it's God's doing that believers are in Christ. All of us that believe, it's in God's working. It's not something that man can boast about. And three times this passage says that God chose, God called. So it's all of God and not of man. So let's look now at some wording that will help us to understand. For instance, predestined, as we read, the foreknowledge of God, the predestination. Predestined, it means decided beforehand or determined beforehand. God decided beforehand, and he determined it beforehand. Let's look at these verses that we have read. Let's go back at verse 4 of Ephesians and read this again. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And then verse 5 says, having predestined us. That means he decided beforehand or determined it to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ. It was God's will. It was God's predestined that determined. Verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his will. To the praise and glory of his grace. It was through him and through his grace that it was predestined that we would become his children. And he would lavish us the grace, that we received through the blood of Jesus, because in verse 6 he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the love. It was in love we were predestined, and it was that we became adopted as sons, and it all came through Jesus. And it was according to God's intention, his very purpose. And it was to the praise of the glory of his grace. So our lives as believers, as children of God, should cause others to see his glory and his grace, not us, but to see Christ in us. And it should cause others then and us to praise him, even as Paul was doing in these verses. Now, I want to look at some more scripture that's cross-referenced. Let's look at Acts. chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. This is the writing of Luke. And verse 22 says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." And then listen closely to verse 23. "Him," Jesus, "being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." This was a preaching to those that had crucified God, Jesus, on the cross. And it was predetermined that he would be crucified on the cross. It was the foreknowledge of God for his love, that we might have a life everlasting. Now let's see what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28-30. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." So those called that are foreknown, they're justified and they're glorified. And it was predestined by God that we as believers be conformed into Jesus' image. It was already planned by God before time began that as believers that we would become justified and glorified. God predetermined those that were his chosen would be like Jesus, that we would be conformed to his image. And this is part of God's grace that is bestowed on the beloved, the believers of Jesus. All right, now then, let's look at the next blessing, which is about redemption. We'll go to that. So what does redemption mean? Redemption means it's a release effected by payment of ransom. And what was this payment? We know that we are redeemed by the payment of Jesus' blood. It's in Christ, through his blood, we receive forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. The grace that he bestows on us, it was lavished on us. And we have scripture that will take us through to tell us God's word in Peter, in Colossians, and Romans. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, 18 through 19. The verses say, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So believers are not redeemed or ransomed by things like silver and gold, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of God. Now then, let's look at Colossians 1, 13 through 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. So we are forgiven by the redemption that we receive through the blood of Christ, through His dying on the cross. He paid our sin debt in full by His blood. And it was through His blood that we receive redemption. Now look at Romans. Romans 8:23. Being justified freely. I'm reading another scripture. Romans 8:23. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We will receive the redemption. We will be justified before God. It's His grace. It's a gift. It's not of ourselves. So look at Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sin, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith. It's through our faith that we believe this, to demonstrate His righteousness because of His forbearance. God has passed over our sins that we have previously committed. So when then will this take place? We know that in the future, our physical bodies will be redeemed. And how? It's through the blood of Jesus. We will be conformed as we are being conformed into His image because of God's spiritual blessings. So we know that it is only through Jesus that we have redemption, and we received it because He went to the cross and shed His blood that we might have life everlasting. And it was God's predetermined plan. Now, going back to verses 8 through 10 in Ephesians, Paul had wisdom and insight into the mystery of God's will. God had made it known to Paul by revealing the mystery of God's plan of salvation. The Jews, it was first given to the Jews, and many would not receive it. And then it was given to the Gentiles. And that's the mystery of it, is that it was revealed to the Gentiles. All things related to salvation, we know, come from Christ. It's through Him. So we want to see now what the next blessing that he talked about in here, in these verses that we read earlier. It's our inheritance. And I want to read some scriptures other than what we read in Ephesians about our inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith of salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So he's saying that we have an inheritance that's imperishable. Imperishable means it won't fade away. It's undefiled, unfading inheritance. And where is it kept? It's kept in heaven. Now look at Romans 8, 16 through 23. The Spirit himself, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. So we have become heirs as believers of God, and we're fellow heirs, we're joint heirs with Christ, waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Now also we see in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done. This is Titus 3 verses 5 through 7. Not by our works which we have done, but according to what? To God's mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, once we have become a believer, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and he poured this out through Jesus himself. And also he is saying that believers are heirs because we have been justified by his grace. Now, James 2, verse 5, tells us, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" To be an heir has been promised by him, by God. It's promised to those that love him. And then, going on, we see, as I mentioned earlier, John 1:11 tells us that he, Jesus, came to his own, who were the Jews, and his own did not receive him. So, Jesus went first then to the Jews, but as a whole, they didn't receive him, and they put him on the cross. So, we are studying about the Ephesians, and we know that all of the Ephesians have not accepted, and that they have not always all believed in the good news in salvation. And so the gospel went to the Jews, but most of them rejected. And then it went to the Gentiles, which was the mystery of God's plan unfolding. And so we're being sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we want to look now, before we close out, how that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Quickly, I'll read a couple of cross-reference on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So what he is saying here in Corinthians, this is Paul's writing, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that came to us once we had faith to believe in the Lord Jesus, because He paid our sin debt. He bought us at a price. So He said that we should glorify God in our body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then in 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him, Jesus. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, when Jesus comes, we shall be like Him," like Jesus, "for we shall see Jesus as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him, in Christ, purifies himself just as He is pure." Oh, that is so much in that scripture, to see what God has bestowed upon us, that we are called His children. So the world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. And He said, now that we're children of His, it hasn't been revealed yet what we shall be. But we know that when Jesus comes, when He is revealed, that we will be like Him. And we know that we have received such a great inheritance, that we will be like Him and will be purified by Him, because He is pure. So what then is our inheritance? What have we learned today in our study here in this first chapter? We have an inheritance, and the first thing is salvation, and we inherit that salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have become children of God. We are part of His kingdom. And we have received eternal life. Oh, what we have in Christ. How rich we are. And we should be so thankful. And by being thankful, we need to tell others how they can be rich in Christ Jesus. Not of these worldly things. He says, store not up treasures here on this earth, but in heaven. Treasures that will be eternal. So we'll close now in prayer. And I pray that each of us will be meditating on what we have studied and learned in this first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Father, thank You. How can we begin to thank You for what You have bestowed upon us, what You have blessed us by Your grace, by Your love, by the blood of Jesus, what we have to become Your children, to be a part of Your kingdom, Father, and to know that we're being conformed to be like Jesus, so that when He comes, when He sets up His kingdom here on this earth, that we'll be like Him. And Father, we give You praise and honor and glory, because it's only through You and Your predestined love for us that we can have such wonderful inheritance, Father. Thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.